favorite part. Don't be jealous, but I love working with them. They're the best. So as you know, we're going to be talking about Romans 12:9-13. But first we read a passage before, or I read a passage before in Micah, right? So we'll start from there and then we'll get into the Romans passage and how they sort of link together. So every now and then, some of you may hear me ask for prayers for healthcare professionals. Sometimes I'll ask for it during the prayer team meeting, or sometimes I'll, if I'm upstairs, I'll say it, you know, during our prayer time together. And as many of you know, I'm ordained, but I'm also a nurse practitioner, and I work in a small hospital. And every day, my staff and I work really hard to help those who are ill feel better. So we try to do our best, but every day is not always a smooth, easygoing day. It can get very hectic very quickly. So though nursing is proclaimed to be an admirable profession, right? It is. Of course, I'm going to stand up for my profession. But I would argue that carrying this profession out inside the hospital is one of the hardest things to do. By the end of a shift, you have been uplifted and belittled, praised and demeaned, and have had your heart feel like it's going to pop out of your chest at least a dozen times. But then at the same time, have your heart feel like it's going to overflow with joy when you see a patient feel better and be discharged home. So you're constantly like this. What does that do for your blood pressure? What does that do for your heart rate? Exhausting. What does that do to your emotions? Exhausting. And you can also get a little spiritually drained when folks are not feeling so well around you and they're not having a good day. So because of this constant stress, it's easy to fall into the habit of just getting things done. And by that I mean getting into a mode where you just appease people so that there is no real feeling behind your work, no passion, no compassion, no empathy, no care to really understand the patient and their needs. All those things that make nursing so special. And I've seen many struggle with the tension between maintaining a genuine connection and simply appeasing folks so that that is one less thing to worry about. Needless to say, nurses have to take special care to be mindful of nurturing their emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being so that when we do our work, we do it with love and care. And that no matter what, we can remember we make a difference, even when it feels like we're just simply completing tasks. But knowing this and remembering this and showing this in your work is what marks the difference between a good nurse and a nurse who seeks excellence. And this example highlights the message in our scripture readings today. In Micah, we read about Micah telling the people of Israel that we are called to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. This was his response to the people of Israel asking about how they might sort of get back to a good place with God where their relationship was meaningful. Now, just above the verses that I read a while ago, in the first 5 verses, God challenges Israel to recall how they have been saved from Egypt and that how God provided good leaders to them, Aaron, Moses, Miriam, and how God eventually brought them to the promised land. Now, these few verses were a reminder of God's faithfulness despite Israel's unfaithfulness, and that despite all the times they sort of disconnected from God through idolatry and lies and other things, God remained faithful. And so our passage in Micah responds to God's challenge by asking, "With what shall I come before the Lord?" they said, right? Should I bow myself? Should I bring burnt offerings? Should I bring calves or rams? Should I give my firstborn? I don't know if I can do that. I don't know about you. Burnt offerings and animal sacrifice were traditional ways in which the people of Israel would make up for their wrongdoing and disobedience. Giving up the firstborn is more of an extreme act of sacrifice that may or may not have been hyperbole, but regardless, it definitely conveys a sense of urgency, right? They know they have to do something. So in responding in this way, they are acknowledging that they need to do better. They need to reconnect with God, and that it's important to live in a way that maintains a connection with God. But Micah pushes them to do more. He pushes them to dig deeper. He says, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what it is that the Lord requires of you, but to do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God." He is saying to them that just because you go back and do your traditional acts of repentance does not mean that you automatically get your spot back with God. Because you do this, this, and this, and this doesn't mean that everything will, the scoreboard's clean. If there's no meaning behind your action, they are worthless. So seeking true forgiveness is not a checklist of things to get done. Instead, Micah is saying this is a change in behavior that's required. It's a way of life. So I really appreciated how a commentary I was reading about this passage summed it up. It's really beautiful how this author said it. Rather than offer God thousands of rams, Micah calls us to offer 1,000 daily acts of love for each other and the world God loves. Walking humbly with God means knowing our bent to self-righteousness. We cannot play church or frame our religious life as a game where we keep God in check by performing prescribed duties. The life of faith is indeed a walk that reorients heart and life. That was a really beautiful way to summarize what Micah was trying to say in that one sentence. So in the same way, our passage from Paul in Romans that we'll also be reflecting on this morning is yet another push to go even further. In chapter 12, Paul says, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord." I found it.
Read the passage from Romans again so we can refocus, forget about the zing, let our ears rest. So Paul says in Romans that we need to let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. These words are truly beautiful, yet present us with the requirements of living in a way that honors the message of love that our sacred text shares with us. Yes, we have heard that we should love one another. Yes, we have heard to reject evil and hold on to what is good. But do we understand that in doing this, we are being more than a good person, or a kind person, or an amiable person? Because when our love is genuine, we inevitably outdo one another in showing honor. Because when our love is genuine, we are zealous in our service to God. Because when our love is genuine, it uplifts us so that we can actually rejoice in hope. We can be patient in suffering and persevere in prayer as we think about all the ways God's steadfast love remains faithful. But most importantly, when love is genuine, we are offering the opportunity for someone to experience God's love as a reality in their lives. The opportunity to feel how God's promises are true for us. The opportunity for someone to feel God near. To feel God near. Because how many times do we feel like this God that we love is a little far? So in this way, our lives are acts of love, devotion, and service to God, instead of just tasks to keep us on a good list. Even if our intention is not to be on a good list, we may still find ourselves struggling with what is required of us. Though the divine demands we've reflected on so far make sense to us and are so worth our intentional effort to strive to live this way, they can sometimes feel difficult to attain, first of all, and then to maintain. Because, well, life isn't always rainbows and butterflies. It's too often the case that we hurt the ones that we love the most. And to think those are the folks that we love. So that's why this is a timely message for us today. We have begun the season of Lent, a time that leads up to the ultimate act of love in Jesus' sacrifice on a cross. Because regardless of what we need to improve or the ways in which we feel we fall short, there is no sin or shortcoming too great for God's love. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus, as we've said for many, many, many years. It's been extended to us through the sacrifice on a cross. And so that's why I encourage us to use this season as a journey to resurrection. Our text today invites us to dig deeper beyond the usual ways we typically fall back on to sort of fix ourselves, to find ways to have deeper connection with God, and to live in a way that we do carry out justice, that we do love kindness, that we are walking humbly with God. So I encourage you to be bold in showing others how God's love marks your life in a special way, to cultivate a life of gratitude, and to be daring as you love out loud.